People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down, when you're strange. Faces come out of the rain when you're strange. No one remembers your name when you're strange. When you're strange, when you're strange. People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down. When you're strange, no one remembers your name. When you're strange, when you're strange, when you're strange.
Very correct. We are very strange, all of us. I'm not going to say people are strange. Everybody's strange. The Iowa caucus. Oh, my God. Cruz won by a little bit. And Rubio came up pretty good. But you know what that is? That they were pushing Jesus at the end there in their campaigns, if you listen to them. They were playing to the evangelical Christians who obviously have a lot of power in Iowa. Yeah. And, of course, Trump being a New York City boy, you know, the people out here in the hinterland are always suspicious of the New York boys, and they should be. But I think that probably you're going to see a lot different situation in New Hampshire. Don't think they're quite as much into Christ insanity as those Cornhusker people out there. Well, you almost have to play the Jesus card in politics with those people. And most of the crooks know it, and they play it like a fiddle, man. Yeah. Can you imagine Rubio sitting down to decide important issues with Putin? Wait a minute. I can't, that is not possible. I could not see that. That would be like a lamb going to the slaughter, man. Well, you got to hand it to the Kahanis, the creators of the Jewish Defense League, started by Rabbi Kahane, and then his son took over, and then he got murdered, assassinated by the system. And now, after completing 6 months in administrative detention in Essel prison near Beersheba, Meir Ettinger, grandson of the late Rabbi Mar Kahana, was issued an additional 4 months by decree of Defense Minister Moshe Ya'alon without an explanation. Ettinger, a Jewish activist, Yetar Salanim, has been placed in administrative detention. Probably that's, that's probably all by himself in a little closet someplace. An old British mandate, temporary regulation, which is being employed by the Israeli defense establishment to incarcerate and security risks whose alleged crimes cannot be proven. Ah, that's a cool one, man. have been incarcerated since early August. At the time, the move was explained as being part of an investigation of the Duma Village arson attack of July 31st. But since then, the Chebec has decided on another suspect in the case. Ettinger and Slonim have been on a hunger strike for about 2 weeks to protest their prison conditions, having been transferred to the security wing of the Eshel prison near Beersheba in early October, where they are surrounded by Palestinians who are making their lives a daily living hell. Well, I have a certain amount of respect for radicals that their systems don't accept, even when we're in 180 degrees out of a phase of an agreement on a lot of things. I do respect fighters, warriors, revolutionaries, and so forth. In this case, these are Jewish nationalists that are resisting their own corrupt government. So anyhow, that's that. And that's something most right-wingers will never do, is give any respect to their opposition. Hell, even World War II, World War I, the generals gave a lot of respect to the generals on the other side. I know Patton surely did. To be perfectly honest about it, we've got no, we've got nothing that we owe the Palestinians. They would not support our racial political views. And like I've said before, I've seen them march down the street in New York City with the communist groups, the red groups, that have tried to kill us. So, you know, no matter how what our problem is with the Jews, we have no truck with the Palestinians either. I mean, what are they going to do for us? You know, that's part of a deal. We do something for you, you do something for us. Well, they've never said or done anything for us, so if the Israelis want to do with them what they want to do with them, well, that's not my problem, not your problem. Israel's security establishment is convinced that Ettinger, Kahana's grandson, is the leader of the Hill Youth, who have been accused of carrying out several terrorist attacks, from price tag graffiti to arson. Price tag graffiti to arson? Price tag graffiti? But the only evidence, I mean, our guys used to go into the stores and mark on price tags and stuff and cans of food and all that kind of stuff. That's a crime over there. But the only evidence that Shabak has been able to present so far has been his personal blog on Hakul Haihudi, last entry on August 4th, where he dealt soberly with controversial issues of cultural identity and the Jewish-Arab conflict. Well, so much for that. Don't forget, when the boys get to New Hampshire, that there's a sizable number of what we would call atheists and non-believers and very nominal Christians there, and humanists and all that kind of stuff. So Cruz is going to have to change his speech when he gets to New Hampshire. But if he makes it to North Carolina, he'll be back into the Jesus people, you know, down there. Plus, he'll be talking national defense big time, because North Carolina is full of military bases and military armaments and all that kind of stuff. So it's going to be interesting. Always follow the money, boys and girls. Listen to this. They've got a big gas field over there in the Mediterranean Sea that Israel's calling the Leviathan natural gas field. It's launched its debut into the world of domestic production and foreign export simultaneously. The mammoth natural gas field will supply two private companies with its natural resources in a new $1.3 billion contract signed with the Edeltech Group, owned by the Edelsberg family, and its Turkish partner, Zorlu Energy. The partnership purchased 6 billion cubic meters of gas to be supplied over 18 years. The field is being developed and controlled by Texas-based Noble Energy and Israel's Delek Group. It is believed to contain approximately 22 trillion cubic feet of natural gas. Now, you get what I'm talking about here? Now, they're dealing with Turkey. Now, Turkey's dealing with ISIS. Turkey's buying oil from ISIS that ISIS is stealing from these countries that are glorious forces, subjugated and crushed. And see, the United States corporations and Israel and Turkey and all of them working together. Oh, God. Quote, we continue to work with all our might to make progress on developing the Leviathan Reservoir and to bring the gas to the Israeli economy and its industry. Delek Drilling CEO Yossi Abu said, quote, this deal is a harbinger of things to come, and we intend to further promote sales contracts with customers in Israel, Jordan, Egypt, and Turkey. Oh, wow. Okay. See, ISIS gets a lot of this money because they're getting it from Turkey, and Turkey is dealing with Israel. And so just always follow the money. And then most of what they tell you in the regular news is bullshit. Behind the scenes, they're all working together to make money. Money, 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 money. Two new power stations will be built for the purpose in Israel. The Tamar station will be located in the Negev next to the Haifa chemical plant in Mishor Rotem. That project will cost an estimated $250 million. The Soldad energy plant will be located next to CHS in Ashdod for approximately $125 million. Contracts have already been signed between the two partners to build the Ramat Negev energy station, Dorad energy plant in Ashkelon, and Ashdod Energy Station. Despite the recent plummet in oil and gas prices, Noble Energy's Israel country's manager, Binai Zomer, told Globe on Sunday that if enough contracts are signed, despite those challenges, Noble believes that the Leviathan project can move forward based on domestic and export opportunities and because of the positive climate created by the natural gas frame. With the continued cooperation and mutual commitment of the regulators, the State of Israel, and the leaseholders, a final investment decision can be achieved by the end of 2016, with the flow of gas to domestic and regional markets within 3 or 4 years from FID, and as early as the end of 2019, in accordance with what was articulated in the framework of the Leviathan leases. Oh, boys and girls, all the children are insane. Well, not all of them. There's a certain percentage of them know exactly what's going on, and they're laughing their ass off at everybody else. Another thing about Turkey and Israel, a year or so ago, I was informed by a doctor that's a Turkish guy here in town that Israel is leased thousands of acres of Turkey's land to grow vegetables and agriculture on. And also, they've got a contract with Israel that they can fly their jets over Turkey, certain areas, to train their pilots, because Israel's so small they can't even turn their fighter planes around in Turkey or in Israel. So you see, all this stuff about everybody's fighting, and you know, it's all bullshit. It's smoke and mirrors. You know, they're always calling Israel a democracy. Well, I don't have that much confidence in democracy anyhow, but get this. You know, Netanyahu is a virtual dictator in Israel. As of Monday, the prime minister, foreign minister, communications minister, and regional cooperation minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, of the Likud party, is also Minister of Economy and Industry. as has been approved by the Knesset in a vote of 50 to 46. The ministry previously held that Aryeh Deri was vacated by the latter, who was unwilling to use the legal technicalities to bypass the state's antitrust regulations regarding the big offshore natural gas deal. In the meantime, Deri became interior minister, a post he left in disgrace a couple of decades ago, and now Bibi received his abandoned portfolio. So you see, you got Bibi, he's the prime minister, he's the foreign minister, he's the communications minister, he's the regional cooperation minister, and he's also the minister of the economy and the industry. Now, if that's not a dictator, I don't know what the hell is. I'm going to play you a little snippet from a lady that was in the CIA many years ago. So you understand how rotten your Christian, Jesus-loving government is.
Then I went to technical services, where I was in charge of finding documents that you don't find in libraries, like where you put explosives on a bridge. Where's the best place to put an explosive on a bridge? And what kind of explosive do you have to get that goes underwater without it, you know, destroying its effectiveness? Also, I had to find, one time they wanted me to find out if there was such a thing as a poison that was undetectable, especially one that seemed to mimic a heart attack, that would kill someone, but it would appear that they had a heart attack. I did find such a thing.
Does this pistol fire the dart?
Yes, it does, Mr. Chairman. And a special one was developed which potentially would be able to enter the target without perception.
The poison was frozen into some sort of dart, and then it was shot at very high speed into the person. So when it reached the person, it would melt inside them, and the only thing would be like one little tiny red dot on their body, which was hard to detect. There wouldn't be a needle left or anything like that in the person.
But also the toxin itself would not appear in the autopsy?
Yes. So that there was no way of perceiving that the target was him.
I think the first time that I seriously questioned anything that was more than, I just couldn't take it anymore, was when I came across this document. It was eyes only, and it was to my boss, but he only had one hand and a hook in the other hand, so I always opened all of his mail and his packages and so forth. And this one, he wasn't in the office. I opened it and I read it. It said eyes only. I wanted to read it because I wasn't supposed to, probably. And it was a report about a mission where they had blown up a bridge in Asia somewhere, and they had killed a number of women and children who were on their way to market that morning. It was reported as though they were really proud, mission accomplished. That one bothered me a lot. When my boss came in, I gave him his mail and I mentioned this, and I said, "This is wrong. These women hadn't done anything. These children didn't deserve to die. Why did we do that?" And he said, "That's the fortunes of war." And I said, "But we're not at war. We're certainly not at war in that country. Why did we do that? I don't understand it." And he said, "Well, you're very young. When you get older, you'll understand those things."
You know, you're in a small town when the restaurant closes at lunch so the waitress can go home and eat. Or the mayor's nickname is Greasy Dick, and besides appearing on the ballot, it also appears on his driver's license. Or the fashion boutique post office is located in one corner of the hardware store between the used milking machines and the pay toilet. Or the police station is closed evenings and weekends, but they leave lit the sign that gives the time and temperature. The newspaper prints the crossword puzzle on the front page above the fold and prints the answers just below. The zip code has 3 digits and features a decimal point. The Narcotics Anonymous chapter has only one member, and he's strung out on ranch dressing. That's a small town. I heard on the radio that Rubio or one of these people, or maybe it was the Cuban by way of Canada, went to 150 towns in Iowa. I can't. It's hard for me to believe there is 150 towns in Iowa. And I assumed they were pretty small towns. But I'll guarantee you every one of those little 150 towns had a church in it, or two or three or half a dozen mind control centers. You'll have to excuse me why I'm so bitter about religion, but I am. I wasted a whole lot of years of my life playing around in that playpen. But at least now I'm born again. And my main job now is convincing a bunch of these preachers around here, we've got hundreds of them, to form a big circle, and I'll hand them all AK-47s. And in the circle, then they can shoot at the one of their choice that's across from them. And then I'll wait around for about 3 days to see whether they rise from the grave. Only I'm not going to work hard and bury them. We'll just leave them lay out there. Shouldn't make any difference as far as I know.
In the San Francisco Police Department, this follows a request from the mayor after a deadly police shooting sparked protests and allegations of racial bias. KPIX 5's Jackie Ward joins us live at San Francisco's Federal Building with more on the heightened security and the public protests right in the middle of Super Bowl week. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning. Yeah, of course, a lot going on. San Francisco has all eyes on it this week, which gives it the perfect stage for the people's voice of justice to be heard. So now attention shifting even more to the SFPD as the federal government conducts an official investigation. Yeah. 200 protesters marched down Market on Saturday towards Super Bowl City and were met by a police presence that cut them off a block away from festivities. They were calling the tourists' attention to the death of Mario Woods. Now, after a letter from Mayor Ed Lee and requests from both Chief Greg Suhr and members of the Board of Supervisors, the Department of Justice is conducting what they call a comprehensive review of the police department, all while the city hosts an estimated 1 million guests.
And they're celebrating all these big events and doing this stuff in the face of all these horrible things that are going on. And I think it's a great opportunity to get the word out.
Police say only one of the five police officers who shot and killed Mario Woods is black. Still, racial tension in the city has grown over the past couple of months. An attorney for the Woods family says they hope this investigation can be the first step in healing the division between minority communities and the police department. And Chief Suhr has gone on record to say they will do whatever it takes to cooperate with the Department of Justice during this investigation. From San Francisco, Jackie Ward, KPIX 5.
Well, that applause was for the San Francisco police. They took an oath to stamp out racism and intolerance amid the Department of Justice probe. There you go. Boy, give a big hand to the San Francisco piggies. Do you think they really mean it? They're just going to have to be more careful. They're going to get caught again. Do you realize that most of these demonstrations that turn out, even in the big city, are at maximum 200? The one in San Francisco that just came about was less than 200 people because they exaggerate to the positive, the press do, when it's the blacks demonstrating. In fact, usually it's half white or more, sometimes two-thirds white. Because the blacks are too lazy to get out there. I remember once when in San Diego, I went down to watch this Martin Luther King Day parade through San Diego. And yeah, there was, 100 or so. But then I drove on down the street towards where the black neighborhoods were, or some of them. And they were all out there laying on the yard and barbecuing and washing their cars and everything else. They didn't give a shit whether Martin Luther King Day was going on or not. All they cared about was they got a day off. The big problem with whites is they just don't understand what makes black folk tick. And the black folk think it's funny, really. Because the more they bitch, the more the whitey says, oh, well, yeah, it's horrible. We got to give them more stuff, man, and so forth and so on. In fact, the black people don't respect the white working class because they know they're conning them, and they get away with it. Here's an interesting little blurb. Over 3 days in Des Moines from Friday to Sunday, this guy from the New York Times, he says, I interviewed more than 30 black people. Boy, that's a cross-section. And spoke briefly to many more at a black church, a black-owned barbershop, a popular soul food restaurant, and a black American social events. I thought discrimination was illegal. What the hell? My first impression from these conversations was that there existed a staggering level of ambivalence and absence of enthusiasm. That, hey, motherfucker, I don't give a fuck. It's all a game anyhow. You know, even the dumbest black seems to realize what a ridiculous system we're living under now. Everybody is. If it's gotten so bad you can't fool the blacks, I mean, who are you going to fool? Bill Clinton seems to understand the powerful role that groit, whatever that is, plays in black culture. Black culture? No, the only culture blacks have is part of white culture they ripped off and are using it and distorting it. And he channels the spirit when he speaks. Yeah. That's why they called him the first black president. Far more than any non-black candidate I've seen. I wonder how many black broads he's screwed. I'll bet you anything he started way back in Arkansas. Maybe that is why no one I spoke to mentioned how much damage the Clintons have done. The millions of families that were destroyed the last time they were in the White House, thanks to their boastful embrace of the mass incarceration machine and their total capitulation to the right-wing narrative on race, crime, welfare, and taxes, as Michelle Alexander, author of The New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration in the Age of Colorblindness. Well, you can lay that at the feet of the ruling class. If you want to talk about assholes, the white ruling class, you could talk about them all day long. I won't disagree with you. Don't blame it on the working class. We don't have that much control over our destinies. But the rich and the powerful, and the internationalists and so forth, that's who you want to go after. If you want to go after them, I'll help you. For Sanders' part, he seems to be judged too unfamiliar and too absent, particularly down the home stretch. This feels to me like a terrible tactical error. Well, what happened was Bernie, no matter what you think of him, he's not fallen for a lot of the crap. Well, he's doing it a little bit, but he's not groveling before the blacks like the rest of them do. Yeah, that's the situation. It's too bad when a Jew is more populist, has a more white populist position than white Aryans. Isn't that something? We had followed the New Deal path to political realignment. Obama's election would have inaugurated another democratic progressive era built on frustration with Middle East intervention and rage over the Wall Street's role in bringing down the economy. The trouble is you don't want to include the white race, the real white race, not the idle rich, but the working class. And if they feel racially inclined to separation, you don't want anything to do with them. Well, you'll suffer because of it, believe me. But events and the underlying makeup of the U.S. electorate did not cooperate. While the economic implosion happened on Bush's watch, and that's another war criminal that should be punished, most of the pain was experienced after the Obama's inauguration. Oh, yeah? FDR, by contrast, took over after three years of suffering, and all the blame for it fell on Herbert Hoover. Well, he took over, and the reason he took power was to head off a revolution. If Roosevelt hadn't instituted a lot of these socialist-type programs, there would have been a revolution. And that's the thing that most people miss when they study that era, especially these right-wing conservatives, and a lot of them are racial, but they don't understand what we were looking at the time of that election of Roosevelt. Goes on to say, but events and underlying makeup of the U.S. electorate did not cooperate while the economic implosion happened on Bush's watch. Yeah, well, why isn't he being punished? Most of the pain was experienced after Obama's inauguration. I've already read this. Metzger's just screwing up. Bernie Sanders draws in Democratic voters. Yeah, these are populist voters, mostly. And they got a lot of young populists that don't even know they're populists, especially the young, still looking for the transformational politics that was the flip side of Obama's 2008 appeal. The problem is they keep wanting to make the race the issue. Without racial integration, nothing could be solved. And that's the farthest thing from the truth. That just sidetracks these young people down the wrong track. Oh, well, if you marry and have sex with a Negro, that's going to solve things. Sanders proposed to resolve the contradictions of Obamaism. Forget the part about bringing us together. Just organize a progressive majority for real. Whoop, wait a minute, let's read that again. Sanders proposes to resolve the contradictions of Obamaism. Forget the part about bringing us together. Just organize a progressive populist majority for real. That's very interesting. In the meantime, Hillary Clinton's campaign might be summarized by the words of the old civil rights song, "Keep a hand on the plow, hold on." She insists that painstaking, practical efforts will, over time, get us to where Obama promised to go. The sad part is, no matter which side you're on or what, there's still millions of people out there who believe big time in Hillary or any of these people. They actually believe they're honest, God-fearing people that want to straighten things out, and they want to be honest to everybody to do it. I mean, all the children are insane. How did the Koch brothers, spell it C-O-C-K, or penis, Charles and David Koch, who are respectively the sixth and seventh wealthiest people in the world, become the Koch brothers, founders of the vast right-wing conservative message machine and all their fucking right-wing radio shows. Why aren't they buying their own islands or hanging out at the Kentucky Derby instead of pressuring politicians to vote against carbon taxes and spending ever-increasing amounts of money on local and national elections? Well, that goes for George Soros, too. What about that Hungarian kike? He's no worse, no better than the Koch brothers. They're all a bunch of cocks. You wouldn't want to live in a world totally run by either side on this thing. That's the problem. If you want to answer these questions, you won't find a better starting place than Dark Money, A New History of the Kochs by Jane Mayer, an investigative reporter at The New Yorker. The reviews have understandably focused on the most indelible details Mayer has unearthed from the Koch past, particularly the stern German nanny with a policy of mandatory enemas for those children who didn't master their toilet training regimen. The nanny quit in 1940 when Charles was five to return to Europe and help celebrate the Nazi conquest of France. There were plenty of so-called liberals back then praising Hitler and praising Mussolini. I've got a book in my library, The Politics of Italy, from, 1890-something, covered about a 20, 30-year span. every big shot progressive liberal in the United States was praising Mussolini as the greatest thing since sliced cheese, man. He drained the swamp and made the damn streetcars run on time. Well, that's a pretty good thing. I mean, that's pretty damn good. When will people learn that the big shots always line up behind the strong men? It don't matter. Look at all those strong men we created and supported in South America, Central America. Every time a strong man arrived, look at Gaddafi. I mean, we supported him, and then he got out of line, and then we didn't support him, and then they said, well, we've had enough of him, and they killed him. Noriega, all these guys, these big shot rich guys at the top always support the dictators until they get to be an embarrassment or they're not making them any money. And then they dump them. You don't realize the depth of corruption we're in here. I mean, you don't hear hardly any of it on the radio or TV or anything. Jeez, Christ. Well, I don't know whether you should read this Dark Money or not, because they'll probably have something in there where it's white racism, it's all white racism's fault. Well, it is the fault of a lot of the race white supremacists at the top. We are white separatists. They are white supremacists. The big shots. The money men. They are white supremacists. They will tolerate a few blacks around them. They'll even put a few of them in high position. But as you see what happened to Martin Luther King, when he got to the point of interfering with the military-industrial complex, he was out of here real fast. I think it's more important about the Koch brothers inventing a process that Stalin wanted to for his oil works. And they went over there, and the one brother, and helped him develop it. Stalin, you know, the big... I assume he was a communist. Actually, he was a state capitalist. But they don't talk about that much. And then he comes back here and becomes a conservative right-wing Republican. It don't make any difference. Just let me run the show. You can call me right-wing, left-wing. I don't give a shit. That's what these people believe. You need a French Revolution here, baby. Yeah. Anyhow, this gal that wrote this book, Dark Money, they've been focusing on her discoveries after she published an article about the Koch in New Yorker, that the Koch hired a group of a half dozen or so investigators to attempt to discredit her and her reporting. Quote, dirt, 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 a source tells her. If they couldn't find it, they'll create it. But the people are so stupid about who's funding this right-wing crap. Like I told you a year or two ago when they had the Tea Party crap start, that's all a phony deal. I mean, not everybody's phony that's in it, but they're misled. So I show up on the courthouse lawn where they're having their big get-together, and there's a big bus out there. What do they call that? The America's Capitalist Advancement or some shit like that. And I walked up to the guy and I said, you're with the Koch brothers, aren't you? He said, what? I said, this bus is financed by the Koch brothers. I don't know what you're talking about. And then some of the people there that should have known better but were stupid started arguing with me. They're these hardcore right-wing conservatives. Oh, you must be a goddamn socialist. I said, well, I'm sure as hell not a goddamn capitalist. And these guys are leading you to the slaughter. This is a Koch brother operation. Nobody listened. So if they don't listen, they got a feel, man. Here's an interesting letter that appeared in a paper. I taught U.S. history at a high school in Maryland for a brief period after college. When we got to the topic of slavery, which didn't take long in terms of the chronology of America's history, a student raised his hand and asked me perhaps the most difficult question I received teaching that course. Why did they, the slave owners, think this was okay? Well, they didn't have to think it was okay. They just had to know it was profitable. It was lots of money, and the British wanted that cotton so that the gals could wear those cotton dresses. They didn't sit around thinking about whether it was okay. The young man was recognizing how immensely inhumane the institution of slavery was and couldn't comprehend how it ever existed. Well, I say it was just as inhumane and more humane for the white working class at that time to be treated the way they were and live in the squalor and poorness that they lived in, you know. They don't ever seem to talk about that. His inquiry was both natural and profoundly complex. To this day, I'm certain my answer to the student was insufficient. Well, it wasn't sufficient at all, because it was bullshit. As I recall, there were 5 minutes left in the class within that amount of time. How could I possibly have explained the abhorrent mindset that condoned the enslavement, torture, lynching, segregation, disenfranchisement, and oppression of other human beings? Well, that's been going on for thousands of years, idiot. It didn't just start. You act like it just started in the last few hundred years. It's been going on forever. It's still going on. And then you had wage slavery, too. You don't want to talk about wage slavery anymore. You used to do that. Progressive used to talk about wage slavery, but I don't hear them talking about that anymore. I said some along the lines of, quote, the slave owners allowed themselves to believe they were superior. Well, they were superior. Of course they were superior. If they were able to corral and enslave a whole partial race of people, they were physically and powerful, and they could do it. They did it because they could do it and make lots of money doing it. And they robbed people of their freedom and humanity for the sake of their convenience and profit. That never stopped. It's going on right now in New York, Washington, all over the country. For convenience and profit. They didn't give a shit about the morality of slavery. Oh, there might have been a few, but not many. They knew when they got together with the Jews and the slave traders and bringing those people over here. I mean, they wouldn't have treated their horses like that. They wouldn't have treated their cows like that. They knew what they were doing. They were making lots of money. But years later, my response still bothers me and doesn't feel like enough. My students deserve more on this issue, but time and the curriculum would hardly allow it. Oh, poor boy. Among many other reasons, this is why I believe it is time for us to begin teaching racism as a subject in schools. You can imagine how they're going to teach that. All white people are guilty, bad, and should be shot. We are not living in a post-racial society, as some would like you to believe. Well, that's one thing that's true. Indeed, there continues to be systematic racism in the United States. Well, of course there is, and there always will be. You can't stamp out racism or separatism, tribalism. You can't do it. We tried to do it in Vietnam. You see what happened there? We may have killed 1 million Vietnamese, but we didn't stamp out their culture, their racial identity. Many years after the abolishment of slavery and the eradication of Jim Crow, well, they didn't really eradicate Jim Crow. They just transferred those things to capitalist business. The ingrained prejudice in our society is perhaps the most evidence of our criminal justice system, which disproportionately impacts minorities. Well, prejudice is wrong. Discrimination is right. Prejudice, prejudging something, is wrong. But discriminating is to study the evidence at hand and come to a conclusion. And if you, like me, have come to the conclusion that the black race is an inferior race, with a few of blacks being capable and few of them being educatable and so forth, then you know what the answer is. You're not going to bring the straight black race up to the level of intelligent whites. You're just not going to do it. There are also enormous racial disparities in terms of economic opportunity. Well, there wouldn't be if you had racial separation. divide the races back up and let the blacks go as far as they can. And the whites, too. I mean, we got a lot of stupid whites, too, you know. And we simply have not yet established a society where the notion all men and women are created equal is upheld in practice. Well, you never will, because there is no such thing to that bullshit about equality. There is no equality. What part of that do you don't understand? That's the real swan song that's killing us. We're all equal. You're not equal. I mean, I'm not equal. Other people are not equal. Animals are not equal. That's the way nature made us. These UN experts traveling around the U.S. throughout January, oh boy, assessing the progress America has made addressing racial injustice and protecting the human rights of African Americans. Now we got UN ambassadors that come from countries where they actually have slavery. These UN experts that come to the United States to check us out, see how we're integrating, see how we're mixing. While they, many of them, come from countries that still have straight-out chattel racism. Talk about insanity. Mario Fanon Mendes of France, the head of the group of experts, said, despite substantial changes since the end of the enforcement of Jim Crow and the fight for civil rights, ideology ensuring that the domination of one group over another continues to negatively impact the civil, political, and economic, social, cultural, and environmental rights of African Americans today. It always will. I mean, even the light Negroes are going to command over the black Negroes. And these really light mulattoes, they're going to act just like the big shot whites. The persistent gap in almost all human development indicators, such as life expectancy, income, wealth, level of education, housing, employment and labor, and even food security among African Americans and the rest of the U.S. population, reflects the level of structural discrimination that creates de facto barriers for people of African descent to fully exercise their human rights. Well, you don't have any rights. I don't, you don't. We have privileges. And if the ruling class want to take them away, they take them away. If they want to give you some, they give you some back. They should take this French broad and drown her in the goddamn New York Harbor and get her or send her out of here on a rubber raft. Education will not fix all the problems in our society. Well, that's a trap statement there. I think true education would solve most of the problems in our society. But as long as your education is totally politicized, it's not going to, particularly in relation to race. And as this panel of experts from the UN expressed, there's need to be more legislative efforts in this regard. We need these fuckers to come over here and tell us about race when their whole country is about to implode because the French people are not going to accept all of these non-whites coming in from all these other countries, and they're going to start killing them. And then they'll say, oh, how horrible, that's a white problem too. It's all a white problem. If they just lay down and let them come in, let them move into their houses, take their jobs, it's okay. They're just looking for a better life, like the cockroach. But the foundations of a more enlightened and tolerant society begins in our schools. Do you recognize straight-out Soviet propaganda? Now, we beat them economically. We didn't beat them. We didn't beat anybody. But the big shots in this country beat the Soviets economically. But we are absorbing everything in the Soviet Constitution about equality. I'll have to get my Soviet Constitution, which is on my desk here someplace, out and start reading it, because that's exactly what we've imported. And these French and other people that we brought into the country to study how well we're doing is straight-out Soviet-style propaganda and social manipulation. it's 2016, yet we just saw a group of white students in Arizona spelling out the nigger word in a yearbook photo. So what? You can spell out white honky, redneck, whatever you want. I don't give a shit. But if I feel like saying nigger, I'll say nigger. I don't say it all the time. And I don't say it to people that I have any respect for. But there's plenty of black people in this country that are niggers and deserve to be called niggers. Oh, boy. I'm getting excited. And not long after, news broke that a white male high school student in Maryland recorded a video in which he said, "Black lives don't matter." Well, that's okay. I said, "White lives matter more." That put it more on an upscale positive note. White lives matter more than black lives. To me, they do. I admit there's some whites that I don't worry too much about their lives. Most of them are in the White House. Because they're an inferior race. Well, everything I've ever seen shows that they are inferior, or at least not equal. The young man asked why he should care if a black man dies and went on to call Abraham Lincoln a traitor to the white race. He was. I'm proud of that young white man. Lincoln was a disaster to the white race. Anybody want to argue about that? I got the evidence right behind me. Dozens of books on Lincoln and the crap he pulled. But sadly, we should hardly be surprised at any of this, given there have been efforts to whitewash American history in schools across the country. The problem is, Lincoln was a traitor, of course, to the white race, but the Southern planters were traitors to the white race, too, by unleashing all the black slaves, even letting them go off the plantation, competing with poor white labor. These guys, the plantation owners, didn't give a shit about poor whites. They hated whites. They looked down on whites. Poor whites embarrassed these rich bastards living in their palatial manors. So both ends of the track were traitors to the race. And then you take notice, after the Civil War and they had released all the blacks, most of these black plantation owners said, well, we should absorb them into the community. Even Nathan Bedford Forrest gave speeches around the country about making these people apprentices in business and moving them into white business and so forth. Yeah, he did. If you don't believe it, look it up. There was no great outpouring to take these people black to Africa. They only gathered up a few $100,000 to do that, to send them to Liberia. No, the people, they were still looking for a way to use the Negro as a slave, even though they say, oh, you're not a slave, you're a free man. And now you come up north here and strike break and drive white poor people out of jobs in the north. And every time they go to strike for better wages, we'll bring you niggers out and you'll neutralize the situation. Yeah. And then these niggers say that we owe them. They owe the white working class a hell of a lot. And, of course, the ruling class owe the white working class fortunes. And we should take it back. But we're not going to take it back with the system we've got now.
This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend, the end of our elaborate plans, the end of everything that stands, the end. No safety or surprise, the end. I'll never look into your eyes again. Can you picture what will be? So little madness and free, desperately in need of some stranger's hand. In a